This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا هادي له ومن يضلل من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters in Islam, today our khutbah is titled Understanding Hunger. And we want to understand how painful it is when people are at the point of starvation. And some of you have seen videos of our brothers and sisters in Palestine and how the hunger has reached a point that we cannot imagine. What is interesting is when you look up hunger, you find videos of doctors and nutritionists talking about the benefits of hunger. And that's understandable because we live in a world where everyone overeats. And they're talking about temporary hunger. And what we're talking about is not temporary. We're talking about starvation. We're talking about when people are afflicted with famine. And people don't understand how extreme and how the pain of hunger can be so extreme. And it would cause you to do things that are unthinkable. And as we look at some of these extreme examples, we will be telling ourselves, there's no way I would do that. But when you're in the situation, the impossible becomes an option and it becomes possible. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, specifically when He mentions in Surah Quraysh, He mentions that He saved them from hunger and He saved them and He gave them security. الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. And if it wasn't such a valuable thing, it wouldn't be mentioned as one of these two great blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon the Quraysh. And we know that when Bani Hashim were sent out and people boycotted them and they were sent out into the ravines known as Shi'ab Abi Talib for 3 years and they had nothing to eat but leaves. One of the companions said that he was out answering the call of nature and he says, my foot touched something and when I reached in the dark, it was the hide of a camel that was slaughtered maybe months ago, maybe years ago, rock hard. He said, I took it home and I washed it and I boiled it and I ate it. There is a scholar who lived in Egypt by the name of Taqiyuddin al-Maqrizi. And he lived in Egypt and he studied with Ibn Khaldun and some of the great scholars were his students. He wrote a book, a short book about 86 pages by the name of Ighathat al-Ummah bi-Kashf al-Ghumma. He experienced famine in Egypt, specifically in Cairo, in the year 806 after the Hijrah. So this is something about 600 years ago or so. And he was in his 40s and he lost his daughter to that famine. So he was a scholar and a writer and an eyewitness, and he wrote this book. And the book talks about what are the causes and how to treat famine and prevent famine and starvation. He talks about it economically from the side of the rulers, what they should be doing, what they're in charge of. And so he wrote this book in the year 808 after the Hijrah, analyzing famines and starvation, starting with the time of Nuh alayhi salam, and then going to the Prophet Yusuf, and then during the time of Fir'aun, and the Umayyad dynasty, and the Fatimid dynasty, and the Ayyubid dynasty. So he analyzed about 20 different cases of starvation that had afflicted Egypt. So he began by mentioning that what caused that famine was the carelessness of the rulers. Their concerns were their positions of power. And he mentions that there were not enough people who were farming, and the Nile not flooding much that year. So he mentions that a piece of bread was for 15 gold dinars, for one piece of bread. This is something that would have been a silver dirham or so, but it was 15 gold dinars for one piece of bread, and 80 gold dinars for just a measure of flour. He said then people began to eat cats and dogs, and then the dogs became scarce, so that they would sell a dog for 5 dinars, and people would take it and slaughter it and eat it. And then he says, people began to eat one another. And you would think, a Muslim city, this would never happen, I wouldn't do it. But he says, وَتَزَايَدَ الْحَالِ حَتَّى أَكَلَ النَّاسُ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا وَتَحَرَّزَ النَّاسُ فَكَانَتْ طَوَائِفٌ تجلس بأعلى بيوتها ومعهم سلب وحبال فيها كلاليب. So he says the situation got to the point where people started to eat one another, and people would go and sit in the rooftops, and they had ropes that had كلاليب, which means hooks, large hooks. فإذا مر بهم أحد ألقوها عليه ونشلوه في أسرع وقت وشرحوا لحمه وأكلوه. So they said, specifically, they would wait for old men and for children. And they would swing this rope with the hook, and they would attach it, it would hook onto the human being. And they would pull him up to the rooftop, and he said, in no time, they would cut him up, and they would eat him up. And it became dangerous to be a child at that point. People would eat each other up. He says, Al-Muntasir, who was the Khalifa, he sold everything in his palace, everything of decoration, decorative cushions, and chairs, and even weapons, and he would be sitting on the floor. And the women of the palace will go out into the streets yelling, Al-Ju', Al-Ju', hunger. And they wanted to travel, to move to Iraq, but they would go to the Musalla, and they would die there of hunger. Some of them would die at the Musalla, die on the roads. He tells of a woman who had a necklace that was worth 1,000 gold dinars. And she tried to exchange it for bread. And he said all the merchants refused. Yani the point is that even gold and jewelry, things of great value, weren't even worth one piece of bread. So the merchants who had some flour, had some bread, they would refuse to sell to her. No one's interested in 1,000 dinars. Everyone's interested in a tiny morsel of bread. He says, until someone, out of having mercy for her, exchanged, took the 1,000 dinars, and he gave her some flour. He tells of a wazir who got on his mule to go visit the Khalifa. He says, when he parked his mule, they ate the mule. People came and took the mule and they ate it. So then they found the culprits, and they hanged them, and they left them hanging, he said, على الخشب. And then the next day they came and they didn't find the bodies, because people came and took the bodies and they cut them up and they ate them. Similarly, in the year 1327 after the Hijrah, which is 1909, so this is not very long ago, and this is in Hijaz, the areas of Mecca and Medina and Saudi Arabia. So this is not a long time ago. And some of the elderly who are alive today, their parents experienced this and they lived through this. So this is in Najd, and it was known as Am al-Ju', the year of hunger or starvation. And people ate anything. They ate carcasses of dead animals, whether they were dry or fresh or rotting. And they ate the skins of animals. And they would fight over these carcasses, and they would try to find locusts and insects to eat. And they would boil leaves from which whatever tree that had some leaves, they would boil these leaves and they would eat them. And they mentioned stories like they will find children dead in front of doorways, in front of homes. They found a woman who was dead and her 2 children from starvation, and her 2 children died on her chest. While they were debating which child to eat, they said a dog passed by, so they ran after it, slaughtered it, and they ate it. One man tells his wife, and this is how extreme hunger can be. And you will say, I would never put myself in that situation. I would never even have that thought. But this is how painful hunger can be. One man tells his wife, and they had a small child. He said, I will take the child and I will kill him and we will eat him. So first the woman told him, no, ittaqillah, fear Allah. And then she agreed, but she told him to not do it where she could see it. So he says, I took the child out into the desert, yani far out basically. And before I could slaughter him, I found two gazelles or two antelope who were fighting with each other and their horns got locked together and they couldn't break free. So he says, I told the woman, the al-faraj, yani the ease and the way out has come from Allah Azza wa Jal. And she came running and took her child and I slaughtered the two animals and we ate them. But the point is that yani hunger can be so extreme that things that would be unthinkable. And you would think, if I'm in that situation, I would never suggest to kill my child. I would suggest to die so my family could eat me. But it's not the case when you feel extreme hunger. And of course we have in the life of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam an example in everything. Yani whatever you might experience in this life, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced it. Yani if someone who lost a wife, the Prophet lost a wife. You lost a child or a grandchild, a daughter, a son-in-law. You lost homes, wealth. You lost your luggage. The Prophet ﷺ lost his luggage. You have a bad neighbor. The Prophet ﷺ had three bad neighbors. So whatever example, whatever you go through in your life, the Prophet ﷺ went through a similar example. And we all know famously from Urwa ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhuma that there will be no fire lit in the house of the Prophet ﷺ for 2 months. So he's asking his aunt Aisha radiallahu anha, and she said there would not be a fire lit in the house, they would not cook for 2 months. So he asked her, how would you survive? And she said, عَلَى الْأَسْوَدَانِ, dates and water. And we all know this narration, but imagine now going with dates and water, just on dates and water for 2 months, what would happen? And in Sahih Muslim, the famous narration that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam قال, narrated by Abu Huraira, خرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم أو ليلة فإذا هو بأبي بكر وعمر رضي الله عنهما. The Prophet went out one day or one night, the narrator says, and then he found Abu Bakr and Umar. فقال ما أخرجكما من بيوتكما هذه الساعة. What got you out of your homes at this time? قال الجوع يا رسول الله. They said, hunger, O Prophet of Allah. قال وأنا والذي نفسي بيده لأخرجني الذي أخرجكما قوما. So he tells him, and he swears by Allah, that I was also sent out of my house, or what brought me out of my house was the same thing that brought you out of your house. So he says, get up. So فقاما معه, they got up with him, and they went to a house for one of the men of the Ansar. And his wife saw them, and she welcomed them. So he asked her, Aina fulan, where is so and so? She said, he went out to get us some water, but he'll be back soon. So while they were there, the man came back and he welcomed the Prophet ﷺ, and he brought them some dates to eat, to start eating with. And he took a knife to go slaughter an animal. And the Prophet ﷺ told him, not an animal that bears milk, so that it would remain for you, you keep drinking from its milk. So he slaughtered an animal and he came and he cooked it for them and they all ate until they got their filled. Then the Prophet ﷺ tells Abu Bakr and Umar, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, by the one in whose hand is my soul. يعني he's swearing by Allah. لَتُسْأَلُنَّ عَنْ هَذَا النَّعِيمِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. You're going to be asked about this blessing on the Day of Judgment. That you were sent out of your homes because of hunger. Then you're going to go back to your homes and you have received from some of these blessings. So you're going to be asked about it on the Day of Judgment. And this is like how Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. And on that day you're going to be asked, on the Day of Judgment, you're going to be asked about all the blessings that you received. But not only that, yani not only, as we know, did our religion encourage us to feed and to feed others and expressed the dangers and the pain associated with extreme hunger, but even with animals, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that عُذِّبَتْ إِمْرَأَ فِي هِرَّةٍ. A woman was tortured, meaning in the hellfire, because of a cat. سَجَنَتْهَا حَتَّى مَاتَتْ. She imprisoned the cat, she, She trapped it in an area in a cage until it died. فَدَخَلَتْ فِيهَا النَّارِ. So Allah took her to the hellfire because of torturing this animal. The point is that our religion, we has put this value on not just human life, but even the life of animals. So what about humans? And with the famine, other problems. With hunger, other problems occur. Food is scarce, so food becomes impossible to afford, as we saw in the examples of the price of bread. So when it becomes impossible to afford, then theft occurs, then murder occurs, and so on and so forth. So with that, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us of those who hear the truth as clear truth and follow the best of it. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم من جميع الذنوب فاستغفروه فيا فوز المستغفرين. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal for His forgiveness. Indeed, those who ask for His forgiveness shall prosper. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. So some may ask then, what is the benefit of understanding extreme hunger and the pain associated with extreme hunger and starvation, and how do we benefit from this topic? The first thing and the first point was for us to appreciate what we have. Just like in the hadith, after they ate, the Prophet ﷺ told them that you're going to be asked about these blessings on the Day of Judgment. And we're in a world where people are dying from overeating and getting all kinds of illnesses because they consume too much food. And in that same world, people are dying because they have nothing to eat. And they're eating their body parts. Yani there are videos of people who ate their hand because they're so hungry and starving. So when you appreciate what you have, then you naturally become more thankful. And this is a reminder to myself and to everyone that become more thankful. Don't take it for granted. Every meal, every bite, that we're so used to complaining about how one ingredient was missing and so many things are off, and we get so angry about it that we tell seven people and they go tell seven people. But become more appreciative. The third, become less wasteful. Yani those who don't appreciate, they throw away the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's a good time to bring this up because some of you don't understand how wasteful we are in Ramadan. And I'm not talking about in our homes, just from what we visibly see here in the masjid, the insane amount of wasted bottles of water. Like every night we'll throw 20, 30 bottles of water. Each one, someone just took a simple sip out of them and just left them there. So much, and there's nothing to do with it. Yani don't tell me benefit from it, type. We feed the plants. The plants need water. It's raining all the time and we have sprinklers. What do we do with it? Put it in the fish tank? Type, how big is this fish tank? Yani there's nothing to do with it. We just dump it in the sink. We throw it away. And even sometimes when a surprising number of people come for iftar, so we announce, please just take for whoever is present, because we may not have enough food for everyone. You will see a man sitting with his wife and they have four boxes of food that they're taking later for sahur. Type, this guy's been fasting, he doesn't have. Yani these things are embarrassing, wallahi, to mention. But it just happens every Ramadan. Every year we see amounts of food wasted and people just throwing. Or they'll have children's meals, but people will have four little kids and they'll get each one of them an adult meal. And then the child will just strip one of the pieces of chicken off, and then the whole thing we throw it in the trash. And this is not befitting of people who have their brothers and sisters starving in other parts of the world. We need to become more aware of this. And the final point and reason behind this topic is that when we're aware of these extreme conditions and we're aware of what has happened to believing men and women in history, where they start hunting each other like their food, we will have the notion to want to feed more. And inshallah, when the borders and all the organizations are allowed to enter freely and to bring much more into Palestine, let's give them our top priority because of our understanding, because we want to eliminate hunger from the men, women, and children. And the Prophet ﷺ encouraged this 1,400 years ago. He said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَفْشُوا السَّلَامِ أَفْشُوا السَّلَامِ يعني spread greetings amongst one another. وَأَطْعِمُوا الطَّعَامِ and feed one another. وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامِ and pray at night while the majority of people are asleep. What's the result? تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامِ You enter al-jannah with ease, with no problem, with no issues. With that, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us of those who recognize the truth as clear truth and follow the best of it. And to make us of those who recognize falsehood as clear falsehood and abstain from it. فَاللَّهُمَّ أَرِنَا الْحَقَّ حَقًّا وَارْزُقْنَا اتِّبَاعَهُ وَأَرِنَا الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلًا وَارْزُقْنَا اجْتِنَابَهُ اللَّهُمَّ لَا تَجْعَلَ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا وَلَا مَبْلَغَ عِلْمِنَا وَلَا إِلَى النَّارِ مَصِيرُنَا اللَّهُمَّ انصُرْ إِخْوَانَنَا فِي غَزَّةَ اللَّهُمَّ انصُرْ إِخْوَانَنَا فِي غَزَّةَ اللَّهُمَّ احْقِنْ دِمَاءَهُمْ اللَّهُمَّ احْقِنْ دِمَاءَهُمْ اللَّهُمَّ ارْحَمْهُمْ وَتَقَبَّلْ شُهَدَاءَهُمْ اللَّهُمَّ احْفَظْ أَرْوَاحَهُمْ وَاحْفَظْ نِسَاءَهُمْ وَأَوْلَادَهُمْ اللهم ثبت يا رب العالمين اللهم ثبتهم يا رب العالمين وثبت الأرض من تحت أقدامهم اللهم ارفع عنهم البلاء وقوهم يا رب العالمين اللهم كن لهم عونا ونصيرا اللهم كن لهم عونا ونصيرا اللهم أبرم لأمة الإسلام أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويهدى فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر يا سميع الدعاء وصلى اللهم وبارك على مبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وقوموا إلى صلاتكم رحمكم الله